This recording, Connecticut One, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. A letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Comma, Comma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her, but Sarah had a different idea. First she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Comma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. "I can't imagine paying so much," but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. I was born in Norwalk, Connecticut, which is in the southwestern part of Connecticut in Fairfield County. That's the part that's closest to New York City. I was born in 1967. I lived 18 years of my life there. And then I went to college in upstate New York in Ithaca. And then after that, in 1989, I went to the San Francisco Bay Area. And I've been there ever since, in the South Bay. I live in San Jose right now. I don't feel like the way I've talked has really changed much. I feel like people speak pretty much the same in the San Francisco Bay Area as when I grew up, but I suppose it's possible it's changed. My dad was grew up in Brooklyn, New York, and my mom grew up in Rochester in upstate New York. So Norwalk is pretty close to New York City. It's maybe an hour's train ride or so. But we always felt that we spoke differently from people in New York. And I had some cousins, for example, who lived in New Jersey, and they, whenever they came to visit, they definitely spoke with a big accent. And my dad, the kids, I was the youngest of 6 kids, and we used to kind of tease my dad sometimes because he would speak in ways that to us was very, was like a Brooklyn accent, or it was different than the way we spoke. So, for example, he would say orange instead of orange. We would all say orange. And he would say, for like Mary, the girl's name, or Mary, like marrying someone, or eat, drink, and be merry. We would pronounce those all the same. It's all Mary to us, but he would pronounce them differently, something like Mary or Mary. So we would sometimes talk about that. So local names, so Norwalk, some of the towns around it are Wilton, New Canaan, Darien, Westport. If you go towards New York, along the coast there's also Stamford and Greenwich. And then the opposite way, after Westport is Fairfield, Bridgeport, New Haven, and up north is Danbury, after Wilton and New Canaan.